Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I called an audible earlier today as the Bob Mueller thing dropped. And if you haven't read that full transcript, if you haven't listened to his comments, which didn't last long, it was about 8 minutes. But the fallout from that, I think, is massive. I don't think there's really any way to overstate exactly the impact that this had. Earlier today, I was listening to Rush Limbaugh. I've been kind of buried in this for the last 3 hours, and I think Rush Limbaugh, you know, I expected him to be more of a Trump apologist. He dealt with the bigger issue at hand, which is kind of a redefinition of how our legal system or even our approach to legality or illegality is going on here with Bob Mueller's comments. Hannity, I expected Hannity to go into full Trump coverage mode, and that's what he was doing, at least when I listened to him for a few minutes. And then some other things. And, of course, the left going ballistic. And I think Bob Mueller, don't let the fact that he's a Republican fool you. I think he's completely shown his hand here today in what he did. And so I've got his transcript. I've got a bunch of different things here to walk through and not a lot of time to do it. So just stick with me. I'm assuming the rest of you have a fairly normal lives and you're not sitting around reading article after article and listening to thing after thing and buried in this stuff. You have quote unquote normal jobs or other responsibilities. But my job is to one of my aspects of my job on the show, and I don't do it every day and I'm not going to. Is news of the day. But when things I think warrant our attention and we should be considering these things more deeply, that's where I dive into it. When I'm interested in it myself, that's when I dive in so that I know that I've got my own passion behind it. And these things are immensely important to the way our republic operates. And a lot of that's under assault. And we've got major problems in this country. And we saw some big Supreme Court things. Hopefully I'll have some time to get to that. Supreme Court kind of dodged a case involving transgender students using bathrooms, but it was Justice Thomas in his writings, which it's massively long. I'm not going to go into all of that. But in this case out of Indiana, where isn't it interesting? They upheld a Hoosier State requirement that the remains of aborted children be buried or cremated with dignity. Why? If it's not a human life, if it's not a human person, if it's just a clump of cells, if it's just reproductive freedom, well, what do you care? What do you care what happens with that blob or whatever it is? Yet they upheld that part of it. They turned over another to kind of punted on the other one. But Justice Thomas, this is crazy. This was just totally crazy. Went into like I read the whole thing. It went into a 21-page explanation of the history of eugenics in this country as tied to Planned Parenthood and the abortion movement. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg comes back with just an unbelievable statement. So hopefully I'll have time to get to that today. But I want to dive into this Bob Mueller stuff because I think he poured a whole lot of nitroglycerin on the fire that was already there. And you know that the left, especially those in Congress, are going to take anything they can because the ultimate goal is to get rid of Trump. It doesn't matter how. It really doesn't even matter why. It's just a matter of getting that ball across the end zone and trying to get Donald Trump out of office and get rid of this, the election results from 2016 that they just refuse to accept it. I don't even know if we're much beyond Romans 1, just totally given over to a debased mind. And it's such an idolatrous environment that come hell or high water, no matter what, no matter what you have to redefine, no matter what you have to say, got to get him out of office. I think they were just they went into a tizzy and they were in shock that Hillary Clinton didn't win and somebody like Donald Trump did. And it's just amazing to watch all this. So I'm going to take you down a lot of different roads here over the course of the hour. So let me just dive in just with a few things from this is literally the transcript from Robert Mueller's remarks earlier today, which only 8 minutes. OK, but it was definitely a shot heard around the world. Early on, he said the appointment order directed the office to investigate Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. This is why we had a special counsel in the first place, okay? This included investigating any links or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the Trump campaign. That's half the report, half the so-called Mueller report, which said there's nothing there. Okay, so there is no crime. There is no crime of collusion, which is going to factor into a whole lot of this stuff. You go on a little bit, and he said this. And at the same time, as the grand jury alleged in a separate indictment, a private Russian entity engaged in a social media operation where Russian citizens posed as Americans in order to influence an election. So all this is true, and this has been happening for years, by the way. Nothing new here. But listen to this. These indictments contained allegations, and we are not commenting on the guilt or innocence of any specific defendant. Every defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. So that's the legal courtesy that Bob Mueller extends to Russian operatives who don't even live here, right? But does he extend that courtesy to the president of the United States, whether you like Donald Trump or not? No. So he goes on. Check this out. The indictments allege, and the other activities in our report describe, efforts to interfere in our political system. They needed to be investigated and understood, and that's among the reasons why the Department of Justice established our office. That's also a reason we investigated efforts to obstruct the investigation. When a subject of an investigation obstructs that investigation or lies to investigators, it strikes at the core of the government's effort to find the truth and hold wrongdoers accountable. Okay, so he's now referring to, is the president of the United States guilty of obstruction? What is obstruction of justice? I'm glad you asked. Here's an actual legal definition, okay? In order for there to be a claim of obstruction of justice, a legal proceeding has to be underway. Was this a legal proceeding? The legal proceedings can be an investigation, a trial, or an inquiry in the pursuit of justice. To obstruct justice, a person must knowingly and or willfully interfere with the pursuit of justice. This interference could be in the form of a threat to a witness, juror, or other legal officials. Interferences could also be in the form of physical harm, undue influence, or even hindering in the discovery or apprehension of a suspect for a crime. A person who provides information that they know to be false in the course of an investigation or legal process may also be accused of obstruction of justice. But the bigger question is, can you have obstruction of justice if there's no underlying crime? Because they found no collusion. There's no crime there. So how can you obstruct justice when there's actually no crime that's been committed, right? So back in March, this is from an exchange. Giuliani and Jay Sekulow called into CNN talking to Wolf Blitzer, okay? This is right after the Mueller report came out. So really, Giuliani said, well, I'm here with Jay Sekulow, my co-counsel. We've had a chance to quickly go through it. We think it's completely exonerated the president. It's quite clear, no collusion of any kind, including the entire Trump campaign, which raises the question, why did this ever start in the first place? Jay Sekulow says this. As to the obstruction, Wolf, talking to Wolf Blitzer, the key there is that the attorney general and the deputy attorney general made the conclusion that you don't have obstruction where there's no underlying crime. I think that's what we said from the outset, and this was a situation where there was no collusion, there was no obstruction, and now we have to wait the weight of the Department of Justice agreeing with us. Wolf Blitzer comes back, and then Giuliani answered that. Okay, so can you have obstruction of justice if there's no underlying crime? Of course, Giuliani and Jay Sekulow are saying no. And then we're going to take that information, we're going to dive back into Mueller's remarks, and then we're going to look at the reaction and everything else that's going on here, because this is an atom bomb, which I think is going to lead to impeachment. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for?
Back. Well, unfortunately, I think on the heels of Bob Mueller's 8 minutes that shall go down in infamy today, I think he just poured all kinds of gas on the fire of impeachment in the House of Representatives, which the Democrat Party controls. And I think Nancy Pelosi is going to have to succumb to this because it's just getting wilder and wilder and wilder. And they're just completely unhinged. I'll read you Jerry Nadler's comments, especially out of the Judiciary Committee, on the heels of what Mueller said. And then a bunch of the other Democrats who are running for the nomination. It's just madness. But I'm talking about this notion of can you obstruct justice when there's no underlying crime? Because there's obviously no Russian collusion crime when it comes to President Trump. So there was an interaction back in March between Jay Sekulow and Rudy Giuliani, who were calling into CNN, a Wolf Blitzer show on CNN. So that's what we're talking about. It's impossible to obstruct justice if there's no underlying crime. That's what Giuliani said. Okay, then I'm going to get back to Mueller's comments here. So just stick with me. I'm throwing a lot at you. Very important, though. This is Wolf Blitzer. I want to get your reaction to one line in this letter. They quoted the special counsel Robert Mueller as saying, as far as obstruction of justice, quote, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him, which he also repeated today in his little press conference, right? What's your reaction to that? Again, this is Wolf Blitzer asking Rudy Giuliani and Jay Sekulow, Trump's two co-counsels. Giuliani says this. Yes, But then if you go on to the next two paragraphs, Wolf, the attorney general does kind of a brilliant analysis of it. He says that he and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein have concluded that the evidence is not sufficient to establish the president committed obstruction of justice. Then he goes even further and points out that basically under settled law, it's almost impossible to have an obstruction of justice if there's no underlying crime. A brilliant lawyer-like analysis. Then he concludes with a very strong statement. In cataloging the president's actions, many of which took place in public view, the report identifies no actions that, in our judgment, that is, in Rosenstein's and Barr's judgment, constitute obstructive conduct. That's a complete exoneration by the attorney general and Rod Rosenstein. That's what Giuliani and Sekulo were claiming, right, when they talked to Wolf Blitzer on CNN back in March. That's after the original report came out. Then they're back to what Mueller was saying today, okay? So it's interesting because he's willing to extend this presumption of innocence to Russians, but he doesn't want to do it with the president of the United States. Okay? So he goes on. Some other things. So this is where it gets really crazy. Okay? Just a few minutes in. Remember, it was only 8 minutes. The order appointing the special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. And we conducted that investigation, and we kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of the progress of our work. Now listen to this. This is where it gets crazy. And as set forth in the report after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. Now, if that's confusing to you, good. It should be. Because it's doublespeak and it's the exact opposite of what we actually believe in this country, the presumption of innocence. If we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. What? We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the volume 2 of our report explains that decision. That's the introductions that people were complaining about that Barr didn't include when he released some things originally. But everybody has access to the whole thing except a couple of redacted spots at this point. It explains that under longstanding department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he's in office. That is unconstitutional. Charging the president with a crime was, therefore, not an option we could consider. Well, then why do you do the investigation? So that you're digging, this is what I think, so that you're digging, so that anything you find negative you can bring out, and then he knows he's got the rabid dogs in the house that are going to rock and roll. Or that, this was before they even took over the house, okay? 2018, they took over the house. But still, he knew they had a lot of Democrats that wanted to rock and roll on this, and it appears to me the whole time that Bob Mueller just can't stand a guy like Donald Trump, because Mueller's been a part of the machine for years, and Donald Trump obviously isn't. The department's written opinion, this is again what he said earlier today, explaining the policy makes several important points that further informed our handling of the obstruction investigation. Those points are summarized in our report, and I will describe two of them for you. First, the opinion explicitly permits the investigation of a sitting president because it is important to preserve evidence while memories are fresh and documents available. Among other things, that evidence could be used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged now, because they can't charge the president, right? And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other... Now listen, this is where he's kind of setting things up. And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing. Oh, and what process is that, Bob? That's impeachment. That is the only other option here. So if you can't indict him for a federal charge, which you can't, then your only option is impeachment, which he expressly includes here without using the word. Requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing, which is obviously what Bob Mueller thinks should happen next. And beyond department policy, we were guided by principles of fairness. It would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge. Yet, just a minute before, he said, if we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. So he's coming right out and saying, actually, we did have evidence, but we didn't have enough to exonerate him. What? See what he's doing here? This is really psychotic. Those were the principles under which we operated, and from them, we concluded that we could not reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. But he just said we didn't have confidence to say that he did not commit a crime. So he's already coming to a conclusion. Then he turns around and says, we're not coming to a conclusion. Holy cow, really? Now, I hope and expect this to be the only time that I will speak to you in this manner. I am making that decision myself. No one has told me whether I can or should testify or speak further about this matter. There has been discussion about an appearance before Congress. Any testimony from this office would not go beyond our report. It contains our findings and analysis and the reasons for the decisions we made. Mainly, and I'm adding this, that we actually can't say we could let the president off the hook. So he's saying a lot, although he's claiming he's not saying anything. We chose those words carefully, and the work speaks for itself, and the report is my testimony. And I will close by reiterating the central allegation of our indictments, that there were multiple systemic efforts to interfere in our election. That allegation deserves the attention of every American. I agree with that. But the rest of this is Bob Mueller basically charging the Democrats in the House with impeaching the president. Because we didn't find enough to say he's not, that he isn't, that he's innocent. He's presumed innocent, Bob. That's our legal system. Holy, I mean, this is crazy. The White House, of course, jumped on it. Here's what they said. The special counsel has completed the investigation, closed his office, and has closed the case. Mr. Mueller explicitly said that he has nothing to add beyond the report and therefore does not plan to testify before Congress. The report was clear. There was no collusion, no conspiracy, and the Department of Justice confirmed that there was no obstruction. This is Sarah Huckabee Sanders said in this statement. Special Counsel Mueller also stated that Attorney General Barr acted in good faith in his handling of the report. She added, after 2 years, the special counsel is moving on with his life and everyone else should do the same. Good luck with that. Jay Sekulow weighed in, noting that Mueller's resignation puts a period on a 2-year investigation that produced no findings of collusion or obstruction against the president. The attorney general conclusively determined, this is Sekulow, that there was no obstruction by the president. In the words of Attorney General Barr, the report identifies no action that, in our judgment, constitutes obstructive conduct. They don't care. They don't care. This is just Bob Mueller kind of patting him on the butt and saying, hey, listen, I've given you all kinds of stuff to work with in the report. We can't conclusively say that he's innocent. What? Since when did that become a part of American jurisprudence? It isn't. You're presumed innocent. Holy cow. This is really psycho. Some reaction to this, and it just gets deeper and worse when we come back after this. Isn't always on time, but Bob Mueller was earlier today when he came out with his 8-minute bomb throwing, and it's really amazing, completely turning the judicial system on its head. Get rid of the presumption of innocence. If we can't prove that you're innocent, then we can't actually say that you're innocent. No, you're presumed innocent, Bob. You know this. Until proven guilty. They couldn't prove he's guilty, but we can't prove he's innocent. What? Well, that's a whole new line on American jurisprudence. Our civil society, our way of law, just got turned on his head by Bob Mueller, former attorney general. I mean, he's psycho, former FBI guy. So the Dems are going ballistic, obviously, and it's no shock. So here's what some of the 2020 hopefuls are saying. Cory Booker. Robert Mueller's statement makes it clear Congress has a legal and moral obligation to begin impeachment proceedings immediately. Immediately. Back to what Mueller said here that really paves the way for this. When he's talking about, there are other ways to do this. And there's only one other way to deal with it, you know, when the president's done something like this. And if we can't prove it in a court of law, and we can't actually say that he's innocent, we can't prove he's innocent, then and the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing. Which is impeachment, which is exactly what Bob Mueller's calling for, which is why the Dems are going ballistic now. They didn't get the proof, but who cares about that? You can't prove that he's innocent, and that's enough to get rid of this dirtbag, right? That's what's going on. It's crazy. Cory Booker. Robert Mueller's statement makes it clear Congress has a legal and moral obligation, oh, he's taking the high ground, to begin impeachment proceedings immediately. Elizabeth Warren. Mueller's statement makes clear that what those who have read his report know, it is an impeachment referral. And it's up to Congress to act. They should. Kamala Harris. What Robert Mueller basically did was return an impeachment referral. Now it is up to Congress to hold this president accountable. We need to start impeachment proceedings. It's our constitutional obligation. Beto O'Rourke is quickly fading into oblivion. There must be consequences, accountability, and justice. The only way to ensure that is to begin impeachment proceedings. Representative Seth Moulton, a Democrat from Massachusetts, you're like, who's that? Well, he's running for president, too. He's like candidate number 4,700 or something. Mueller did his job. Now it's time to do ours. Impeachment hearings should begin tomorrow. On and on and on it goes. Okay. Then out of the Judiciary Committee, Chairman Nadler, right? An official statement. Listen to this. We would like to thank Special Counsel Robert Mueller for his service to our nation over the past 2 years. This is like a Thanos inevitability. I'm inevitable, Thanos said at near the end of Endgame. Inevitable. I think impeachment now, after this morning, is inevitable. I don't think it's right. I just think it's inevitable. In his statement this morning, Special Counsel Mueller reaffirmed his report, which found substantial evidence that Russia attacked our political system and that the president sought to obstruct Mueller's investigation over and over again. But then you got to go back to what Giuliani and Secular were saying. How can you have an obstruction of justice if there was no underlying crime? Which is what the report said. Trump and his campaign had nothing to do with Russian interference. There's no collusion. He also confirmed three central points. He did not exonerate the president of the United States of obstruction of justice. That's not the point of the law. They're presumed innocent. You have to prove them guilty. What do you mean he didn't exonerate him? That's not the point. If you don't have the evidence and you can't bring charges, you're exonerated by definition. This is really scary. He did not exonerate the president of the United States of obstruction of justice. Obstruction of justice is a serious crime that strikes at the core of our justice system, and the Constitution points to Congress to take action to hold the president accountable. Because remember, Mueller said, oh, we actually couldn't say that we could actually exonerate him. We didn't find enough evidence to say he's innocent. Presumption of innocence. Hello? Although Department of Justice policy prevented the special counsel from bringing criminal charges against the president, the special counsel has clearly demonstrated that President Trump is lying about the special counsel's findings, lying about the testimony of key witnesses in the special counsel's report, and is lying in saying that the special counsel found no obstruction and no collusion. Because they didn't. Given that Special Counsel Mueller was unable to pursue criminal charges against the president, it falls to Congress to respond to the crimes, lies, and other wrongdoing of President Trump. And we will do so. No one, not even the President of the United States, is above the law. Nancy Pelosi has pretty much lost control. This thing has got so much momentum now. And it's a good question. Josephine on Facebook Live said, since when did Congress become the judicial branch anyway? They are not the judicial branch in general or as you think of it. They are the judicial branch when it comes to the President of the United States and checks and balances. And they are the judicial branch, quasi-judicial branch, when it comes to their ability to investigate and call witnesses and issue subpoenas. That's part of checks and balances. But obviously, the whole thing's been politicized. It's been weaponized, okay, the whole thing. Here's a great one. This is Jordan Schatzel. However he pronounces his last name, a conservative review. Mueller sets a new standard for innocence. Prove you did not commit a crime. This is what's really dangerous here. In defiance of his prosecutorial duties, Mueller restated the prove a negative standard from his report. If we had confidence that the president did not commit a crime, we would have said so, Mueller said during his appearance at DOJ headquarters. As I explained last month following the release of the Mueller report, this is from Jordan at Conservative Review. But the conclusion from Mueller's prosecutors is largely misleading and it fails the logic test. It was not Mueller's job to prove a negative, that the president did not commit a crime. His job was to determine whether the president did commit a crime. That's how our legal system used to work till today. Commentators on Twitter seem baffled by the new Mueller standard of innocence, with many arguing that by bypassing his duties as a prosecutor, he greenlit impeachment for Democrats in Congress. So Britt Hume's responding to a guy named Guy Benson. Guy Benson said if he had had the evidence, Mueller could have identified criminal conduct and recommended charges, then let the Department of Justice decide whether the Office of Legal Counsel guidance would or would not permit those charges being filed against a sitting president. Instead, he decided not to recommend anything. Brett Hume comes back and says, exactly right. If Mueller was never going to be able to find obstruction of justice because of Department of Justice policy, meaning you can't charge a sitting president, then what was the point of investigating that in the first place? Good question, Britt. By Mueller's reasoning, he couldn't have said Trump campaign had conspired with Russia if he had found that. Todd Starnes, Mueller just poured gasoline on the Democrats' impeachment fire. Ben Shapiro, quote, if we had confidence that the president did not commit a crime, we would have said so. He's quoting Mueller there. That is not the standard of a prosecutor. Prosecutors exist to determine whether someone committed a chargeable offense, not whether they are exonerated of charges. So this is super dangerous. At the end of the article, Mueller's final report on Russian interference in the 2016 election exonerated the president on charges, originating largely from baseless allegations drawn up in an infamous dossier financed by the Hillary Clinton campaign that he or any members of his campaign collaborated with Moscow to secure his victory at the polls. Even as they strung up several Trump associates on process crimes unrelated to the investigation, because he had to put some pelts on the wall, right? Mueller and his team of Democrat prosecutors failed to find a single piece of evidence to prove the Trump-Russia collusion conspiracy, but nor could they, according to Mueller's statement today, prove he was innocent. You don't prove somebody's innocent. They're presumed innocent. This should ring true to all of you. You should all know this. Inherently, as an American citizen, the presumption of innocence until proven guilty. Not anymore. Now you have to, not only can we not prove you're guilty, but we can't prove you're innocent. So outside of the judicial system, there's only one other way that you can deal with that. And in Congress, when it comes to the president, that's called impeachment. It's exactly what Mueller's been up to the whole time. Charles Cook at National Review. Investigators are supposed to look for evidence that a crime was committed. And if they don't find enough to contend that a crime was committed, they're supposed to say, we didn't find enough to contend that a crime was committed. They're not supposed to look for evidence that a crime was not committed and then say, we couldn't find evidence of innocence. I understand that Mueller was in an odd position, he writes. I understand, too, that this wasn't a criminal trial. But I don't think those norms are rendered any less important by those facts. By asking the executive to investigate itself, it was guaranteed that we'd have a fight over obstruction of justice. For the architect of that investigation to keep saying, we aren't exonerating our target, is extraordinary. Innocence is the default position in this country. If a person doesn't have enough evidence that someone committed a crime to contend that a crime was committed, he is obliged to presume his innocence. Not exonerated is not a standard in our system, and it shouldn't be one in our culture either. Guilty until proven innocent? Now you have to prove you're innocent. That is not the American judicial system until today. At the direction of Robert Mueller and every Democrat in Congress who's more than happy to forget the law. Because when you're full-blown idolatry, logic is gone. Emotion and hatred rules, which is what's ruling now. One more article that I'll get to before we run out of time. It's by Sean Davis at The Federalist. This is the best one I found to really show just how dangerous the waters are that we moved into today at the leadership of Robert Mueller and in the House. Now in the Senate, is this going to go anywhere? Probably not. Because the House brings impeachment charges. That's like bringing somebody up on charges. But they do not try it. The trial goes to the Senate, which is controlled by the Republicans. Now, can you flip a few Republicans depending on what kind of evidence is presented? So-called evidence? I'm not going to sit here right now and say there's no way that's going to happen. It's all going to depend on which way the political winds are blowing. Some people are convinced that if they impeach the president, it'll guarantee that he'll win. But there is a wild card out there, and we talked about it the other day. It's called the economy. If something bad happens to the economy between now and next November, a year from now, he's in big trouble. It's really bad. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about this earth-shattering. I mean, this is, I don't think there's any way to overstate what happened earlier today when Bob Mueller did his little 8-minute press conference and basically said, hey, if we don't find enough evidence to convict you, we can't find you guilty. But wink, wink, nod, nod. We also don't have enough evidence to prove that you're innocent. So the presumption of innocence is gone. 230 plus years of jurisprudence in America and the American way of life in terms of the judiciary is toast. The presumption of innocence just died today with Bob Mueller. Not that it wasn't dead already. But to hear somebody at his level, former head of the FBI and everything else he's done in the government, come out and say that, and this is really shocking, scary stuff. Completely given over. And again, and I said this on Facebook Live during the commercial break, and I'll share this with you on the radio. In this example, this analogy, I'm not going to compare Donald Trump to Jesus Christ, okay? So don't even go there. But their hatred of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and many of the people there, they hated him so much. He was such a threat to their power base, Pharisees and the Sadducees, Jewish leaders, such a threat that given the choice between a known terrorist and Jesus Christ, who was innocent, but a threat to their power base, crucify him. And they were completely controlled by their rage. Completely given over to it. Controlled. And there's satanic in there as well, of course. And God's will. But that's what happens. The crowd just gets into this frenzy, and the crowd was driven into a frenzy that night in 2016 when it was announced that Donald Trump won and Hillary Clinton lost. And the frenzy's been building ever since. And Bob Mueller, as bad as it was, it's way worse now. So I want to read from this article. This was in the Federalist today by Sean Davis. Mueller just proved his entire operation was a political hit job that trampled the rule of law. This is what's so scary about this. Mueller made it abundantly clear during his doddering reading of a prepared statement that repeatedly contradicted itself. Mueller had no interest in the equal application of the rule of law. He gave the game and his nakedly political intentions away repeatedly through his statement. It's important for the work to speak for itself. Then, if it's important for the work to speak for itself, then why did Mueller schedule a press conference in which he would speak for it weeks after it was released? The statement given the venue in which it was provided is self-refuting. Let's start with the Mueller team's unique take on the nature of a prosecutor's job. The standard American view of justice, which mostly died earlier today, affirmed and enforced by the U.S. Constitution, is that all are presumed innocent absent conviction by a jury of a specific charge of criminal wrongdoing. That is, the natural legal state of an individual in this country is innocence. It is not a state or a nature bestowed by cops or attorneys. Innocence is not granted by unelected bureaucrats or federal prosecutors. At one point, and that's like the ultimate center of this nightmare that just occurred. At one point in his remarks, Mueller seemed to agree, referring to indictments against various Russian individuals and institutions for allegedly attacking American servers during the 2016 election. Mueller said that the indictments contain allegations, and we are not commenting on the guilt or innocence of any specific defendant. Well, how nice of you, Bob, for Russian agents. So he's willing to use the tradition of the U.S. legal system on behalf of the Russian agents, right? Every defendant is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. Had he stopped there, he would have been correct. But then he crafted a brand new standard. The order, quote, "The order appointing the special counsel authorized us to investigate actions that could obstruct the investigation. We conducted that investigation and kept the office of the acting attorney general apprised of our work," Mueller said. "After that investigation, if we had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so." That's the atom bomb, okay? According to Mueller and his team, back to the article, charged Russians are presumed innocent. An American president, however, is presumed guilty unless and until Mueller's team determines he is innocent. Such a standard is an obscene abomination against the rule of law, one that would never be committed by independent attorneys who place fidelity to their oaths and impartial enforcement of the law ahead of their political motivations. The contradictions and double standards didn't stop there, though. Quote, "It would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge," Mueller said, after all, but stating that Trump committed a crime for which Mueller never charged him. Just as Mueller's own words and actions at the Wednesday press conference proved that he didn't want his team's report to speak for itself, the report itself proves that Mueller and his team don't believe it's unfair to accuse somebody of something a court cannot resolve. If they actually believed it, then the 240-page Volume 2 of their report on their obstruction investigation of the president would have never been authored. After all, according to Mueller's own statement, such an operation would be patently unfair. And if it's unfair to air dirty laundry against a target who is never charged, surely it's doubly unfair to do so in writing and on camera during a press conference whose mere existence refutes the very claims of its host. Mueller revealed himself as little more than a clone of James Comey, the smarmy, scheming politician who replaced Mueller as the head of the FBI. Recall that it was Comey who assumed for himself powers that did not belong to him by law when he declared at a 2016 press conference no quote-unquote reasonable prosecutor would charge Hillary Clinton with criminal wrongdoing in her mishandling of classified information and unsanctioned use of a secret private email server to evade public records laws. Just as Mueller did in his report and Wednesday press conference, Comey followed up his declaration that Hillary would not be charged with statement after statement after statement of all the awful things Hillary Clinton did. Regardless of how you feel about Clinton, Comey's display at that press conference was an embarrassment. He did an extreme disservice to the nation and the rule of law by unilaterally declaring himself the primary arbiter of prosecutorial decisions in the federal government when that authority belongs solely to the Department of Justice. And he did an extreme disservice to Clinton herself by dragging her through the mud in such a manner that clearing her name would be impossible. In fact, And again, he's not siding with Hillary here. In fact, DOJ guidelines expressly prohibit the actions of both Comey and Mueller in naming and shaming individuals who are never formally charged with any wrongdoing. Listen to this. As a series of cases make clear, there is ordinarily no legitimate governmental interest served by the government's public allegation of wrongdoing by an uncharged party, and this is true regardless of what criminal charges may be contemplated by the assistant United States attorney against the third party for the future, states DOJ's formal policy manual. Their own stuff, okay? Nationwide bar rules governing all practicing attorneys in the United States also explicitly prohibit Mueller's display during Wednesday's press conference. Here's another. Listen to this. The prosecutor in a criminal case shall refrain from making extrajudicial comments that have a substantial likelihood of heightening public condemnation of the accused. That's Rule 3.8F of the American Bar Association's Rules of Professional Conduct. Multiple federal agents and prosecutors reached out to the Federalist after Mueller's press conference to express dismay at the former FBI director's behavior. See, so much of the Department of Justice has absolutely been weaponized. This is very scary. I have not been this concerned for the core of our country with respect to this whole mess until today. I am now. Talk about being woke. I'd have been crucified under this rule for a not innocent comment about an uncharged party, a former federal prosecutor told the Federalist. I literally cannot fathom holding a press conference to say that an uncharged person was not innocent. I wish these former FBI directors would learn their lessons. Keep your mouth shut unless you're referring a case for prosecution, Jeff Danik, a retired FBI supervisor, said during a phone interview. Mueller's performance made it clear for all to see that what he ran for the last 2 years wasn't an independent investigation pursuant to the rule of law so much as an inquisition motivated by political animus. That's exactly what's going on here. Mueller and his team refused to charge prominent Democrats for crimes he charged against Republicans. Paul Manafort was charged with unregistered lobbying for foreign governments, while Mueller left alone longtime Democrat donor Tony Podesta and former Obama White House counsel Greg Craig. George Papadopoulos and Michael Flynn were charged with making false statements to federal investigators, while Clinton campaign cronies Glenn Simpson and Christopher Steele's false statements to Congress and the FBI were ignored. Trump's non-existent Russian connections were plumbed while a dubious Clinton campaign-funded dossier sourced directly to Russian officials was used as a prosecutorial roadmap for the FISA warrants, remember that, rather than rock-solid evidence of actual campaign collusion with the Kremlin. Mueller claimed that his report spoke for itself, then put together a completely unnecessary press conference more than a month after his report's public release, in which he not just spoke for the report, but expounded on the new legal standards he created to govern its conclusions. These are the actions not of a partial and independent investigator, but of a scheming political operative. There's no longer any doubt about who Robert Mueller is or why he conducted himself the way he did. As abominable as his press conference was, we should in many ways be thankful that Mueller so willingly displayed for all to see his disdain for basic rules of prosecutorial conduct, his total lack of self-awareness, and his naked desire to stick it to Trump. This is seriously damaging to the future of the country. And it's happening in plain sight for all to see. And because of the idolatry on the left of their hatred for Donald Trump, the rule of law just went out the door. And the former head of the FBI just said, yeah, we might not be able to prove you're guilty, but we can't prove you're innocent either. And there's only one way to remedy that little snafu, and that's impeachment. So Bob Mueller and the rest of the Democrat Party, and he's a Republican, remember, that doesn't mean anything, went into it thinking, surely there's a smoking gun. Oh, baby. 500 witnesses, millions of pages of documents, a grand jury, all that fun stuff. Oh, we're going to ice this guy because we know Donald Trump's a scumbag. There's no way he does anything straight. Everything he touches, besides being made of gold, is going to be corrupt. They went into it, assuming all of that, and they found nothing, except as Donald Trump, out of his anger and rage probably, made comments about the process that, oh, he's obstructing justice. Obstructing a process which found nothing. And so now we don't just do the presumption of innocence. That's gone. Now you got to prove you're innocent. Not only did we not prove you're guilty, but now you have to prove you're innocent. This is going on in the United States of America, 2019, in the halls of Congress and the Department of Justice. I don't know how the country survives. Ultimately, it's changing before our very eyes. And if you never prayed for this nation before and all of its leaders and everybody involved in the guidance of this country, you better start now. Because I think only the Lord's interventions are going to turn this around in any good direction. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.